But my, when you just start thinking what it cost the Lord, what He paid for us, man, it's a very sobering thought. I know what I am, and I'm just a pitiful excuse is all I can say. Now look at what God laid down His life for me. You know, you could go through the whole thing. I mean, you just look, Pastor said it this morning. He said, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" But yet He told us we'll never be forsaken. He said, "I thirst," but He said, "There's going to be dwelling in you a spring of water." You know, He had no home, but yet He said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Had a crown of thorns placed upon Him. But yet He's going to give us a crown of righteousness. Man, you just go through and you just start thinking of what all we're getting. So undeserving of anything. My, I just think, not only should it make us once, I mean, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Brother Steve, you know what? I belong to Him. I'm a possession of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? I read the Word of God and here's what I find out. Lord don't like nobody messing with His stuff. Man, the devil just beats up and whips on me and life and everything. But you know what? In the end, I'm going to have a victory. You know why? Because I belong to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I belong to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I get so frustrated with the way this life goes, the things, the politics and all this stuff. But you know what? One day, it's going to be a righteous king upon that throne. He's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. And they can mock and they can laugh at us now, but one day, you know what? Their eyes are going to be open. They're going to be bowing before that name. I get so frustrated, all this stuff about free speech, and you know, the world says you can't say this and you can't do that, but yet they can take my Lord's name in vain. And I have to sit there and listen to it. But one day it'll all end. Tell, let's go. Janie, do you have a song you like singing that? All right, let's go to 2 Kings chapter number 4. Before I read my text right here, 1 John 2:15 says this, "Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." We live in a day when it seems like the majority of God's people have just given their love to the world. They love the things of the world. They just... And it's sad. You just listen to God's people. I'm just talking about our church. I'm in Christianity as a whole. You listen to God's people, and they'll tell you they go to church, but really they don't talk about God. You listen to today's youth, and you know what they can tell you? Stats and figures of all these ball players and all this stuff. Can't tell you nothing about the Word of God. We're living in a day when, if I could just say it, most of God's people are worldly. We're exhorted to earnestly contend for the faith. And we won't even stand in our own homes, let alone fight for it. We're living a day of carnal Christianity. And we're introduced. Here's what I want to look at. 2 Kings chapter number 4. Let me start reading verse number 8. We're going to look at this man named Gehazi. It says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed a Shun, and where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And it was so that as often as he passed by, he turned him thither to eat bread. And she said to her husband, 'Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God which passed by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be that when he cometh to us, that he shall turn him thither.' And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, 'Call this Shunammite.' And when he called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What is then to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace the son. And she said, Nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season, that Elisha had said to her, according to the time of life. Now, we're introduced. Here's what I want you to see. I just want you to see a few truths about this servant named Gehazi. Here's a man that is, and we won't read for sake of time. He gets to witness firsthand the miracles that take place at Elijah's hand. The widow's oil multiplied. We could turn back and see that. The Shunammite woman here, she's having a child, which is a miracle. He gets to witness those things firsthand. He gets to sit right there. He's right there with the man of God as Elisha is preaching and teaching. He gets to see the blessings that come from a life being dedicated to God. I mean, he gets to see firsthand how God just provides for His man. I mean, here's an area they travel through all the time, and just out of the blue, God has laid it upon this family's heart to make a chamber for him. Give him a little place to stay. He's seeing how God just takes care of God's man. All these great things that he sees. And in those days, the servant usually would then follow in those footsteps and take over. Moses, Joshua was his servant. When Moses passed off the scene, then Joshua came on the scene and led him, you know, across Canaan. Elisha was Elijah's servant. When Elijah passed off the scene, Elisha was given a double portion, and now he's right there. And so just based upon that, here's my thinking. At some point, Gehazi is probably being trained up that one day he'll be the next prophet. He'll be the next one. And so here's a man that appears to have great spiritual potential. He's got great spiritual privilege that a lot of people don't have. He's got potential. And if I could say it this way, he's got a promising future in serving the Lord. But don't you turn over to chapter number 5. Naaman has come down and Elisha's healed Naaman of his leprosy. And let me start reading in verse number 15. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. And he said, As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And so Naaman's wanting to pay the man of God for what he's done. And he's saying, No, I'm not taking anything. Verse 17. And Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servants 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth in the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant this thing. And he said to him, Go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, Behold, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian, and not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from his chariot to meet him and said, Is all well? And he said, All is well. My master has sent me, saying, Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of raiment. And Naaman said, Be content, take 2 talents. And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of garments and laid them upon 2 of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in his house, and he let the men go, and they departed. And he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said to him, Whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, Thy servant went no whither. And he said to him, Went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money, to receive garments, and oliveyards, and vineyards, and sheep, and oxen, and men servants, and maid servants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. Here's a man with all the spiritual privilege he had, all the spiritual potential he had, all the things. You know what he did? He threw it all away. And for what? Silver. Really, you know, really, he just wanted one talent, but Naaman gave him two. He threw it all away for two talents of silver and some garments. Some worldly garments, if I could say it that way. He sold his spirituality out for worldly gain. We call it materialism. And you know what? That's what God's people are doing today. All the spiritual potential, all the things, the advantages and everything, and then here's what we do with it. We just sell it all away. For what? For some worldly goods. Many people been raised in church their whole life. They know what's right. They know what's wrong. But yet they turn their back on it all for what? For the world. Others live, God has just raised them up from a life of sin. Give them truth, save their souls, and give them an opportunity to spend their life serving Him. But they throw it away for the pleasures of this world. That's what Gehazi did. He chose the pleasures of this world over God. And what I want to look, just for a few minutes, I want to look at some, there were some warning signs, if I could say it this way, in Gehazi's life. He's headed down this road of just selling out, if I could use that terminology, just selling out his spirituality for the world. But there were some warning signs in his life that let us know that he's headed down the wrong road. And that's just what I want to look at for a few minutes tonight. I want to look at these warning signs in Gehazi's life. Go back to chapter 4, verse number 27. Let me back up. Let me give you a story and back up. Her son that was born, he's out in the field working. He has a heat stroke. He comes in there, he lays his head on mother's lap, and he dies. And so here's what she says. Let me just start reading. Verse 23. Says, he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? This is her husband talking to her. It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. And then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to Gehazi his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. Here's what she does. She comes. She has a problem. You know what she does? She goes to the man of God. He's going to be the one that can help her. She gets there. She falls down at his feet. No doubt she's probably weeping. She's troubled. You can tell from looking at her, she's troubled. She comes there. She grabs Elisha's feet. And what does Gehazi do? He thrusts her away. Here's what I see. I see he's lost his compassion. See, you go back to what we read earlier in our text. Gehazi was the one that looked upon this family. He was the one that told Elisha, hey, she don't have a son. Hey, if you want to reward her, Elisha, she could have a son. That would be a way to do it. Here's what I'm saying. At this point in his life, he's compassionate. He feels for her needs. He's compassionate to the fact she doesn't have a child. The man of God's wanting to do something for her. And so that's what he tells him. He has compassion for her. But now, where's that compassion? Where's it at now? Instead of when she comes up there to the man of God, instead of saying, hey, there's something wrong. What's wrong? What's troubling you? He's trying to push her away. If we were there, we would look upon that scene and here's what we'd say. Man, there's something wrong. Here's what the guy has done. He's lost his compassion for others. He's lost his compassion for the work of God, if I could say it that way. See, he didn't recognize anything was wrong. And I'll tell you why.
When we lose our compassion, many times we lose our spiritual discernment. When we lose our compassion for what other people are dealing with and what they're going through, we lose that spiritual discernment of what they need. He didn't even recognize it. He did not recognize that she had a need in her life. Broken as she was, she comes to the man, and she's saying it's well. I mean, he does. He asks her, what's wrong? Is it your husband, your child? And she just says it's well. Hey, she's wanting to take her problems to the man of God. She's not wanting to take them to him. She's going to Elisha. But no doubt he could see that something was troubling her. Or let me say it this way, he should have been able to see that. But he didn't, because he's lost his compassion. A warning sign that we are headed down the wrong road spiritually is when we lose our compassion in the work of God. When we forget, listen, here's the fact of it. Everyone in this church right now, we're going through a battle of some sort. Every one of us. It may be public, it may be private, but we're all in a battle. And you know what we need to do? We need to be compassionate. We need to love one another for what they're dealing with. I've shared this one time, I've never forgot it. This writer said, be kind to everyone, for everyone's fighting a battle. We get frustrated many times with how people are acting and what they're doing. You don't know what battles they're fighting. You don't know what the devil's put in their life that they're having to overcome and fight with. We got to be compassionate with one another. Love is one of the fruits of the Spirit. When we lose that, we're hurting. By this shall all men know you're my disciples if you have love one to another. We got to love one another. We got to love the work of God. Hey, if your heart's right, if there was somebody come in here troubled and went to the altar to get help, you know what we'd be doing in our hearts? Here's what we're thinking. Man, I hope they get help. God, thank you for moving upon our hearts. God, help them. Help brother so-and-so. Help brother sister-so. There is nobody in this church that would come up and say, get up. It's time to go. Hey, it's time to go. You've been up here long enough. Come on, get up now and go back to your pew. Nobody would dare do that, would we? But you know what? In a sense, that's what Gehazi's done. She's came to the man of God. She's laying at his feet. And here's what he does. He's trying to thrust her away. He's lost his compassion. Here's why we've lost our compassion for others. We can't get our eyes off ourselves. We're so focused on our needs and what we're going through. You know what will help you a lot of times? Instead of focusing on your needs and your battles, look at what other people's going through. Hey, you look at what they're going through, and here's what you'll say about yourself. Man, I'm doing pretty good. Hey, I've got some problems that the Lord's helped me with, but man, I'm not having to go through anything like they are. We won't be worried about throwing a pity party for ourselves. Here's all I'm seeing right here. Here's a man that had great spiritual potential, and the first sign, warning sign in his life that something's wrong is we see his loss of compassion. His loss of compassion for the work of God. But then I want you to notice chapter 4, verse 31. Let me back up to 30. Hey, well, let me just back up to 28. Let's just finish reading there. And she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them, and he laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awaked. And when Elisha was coming to the house, behold, the child was dead, and he laid upon his bed. And he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Here's what Elisha does, he tells Gehazi that you know where she says, I'm not leaving you. He tells Gehazi, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take my staff. I want you to take it and lay it upon the child. Now, Elisha is not going to send him to do something that he don't think he can do. He's sending him to perform this miracle in his place. He's sending him to do this because he knows that it'll work. We don't read for saying, Gehazi, I try this and see if this will work. That ain't what he said. He said, take my staff, lay it on the child. He's giving him something to do. He's telling him what to do. Gehazi takes it. He's going to do exactly what the man of God told him to do. If he didn't think it would work, he wouldn't go. But here's what I want you to see. Despite all this, nothing happens. He does exactly what the man of God told him to do, but nothing happened. Here's what I'm seeing now. Not only has he lost his compassion, he's lost his power with God. He's still in that. He's still looking the part, if I could say it that way. He's still playing that role of being Elisha's servant, but you know what? There's no more power. The task that he was given to do, he could not accomplish it. When he did what he said, there was nothing happened. You know what's wrong with a lot of God's people? We've lost our power. We still look the part. We still look spiritual. We're still identified with the right people. We're still going through the motions and doing everything. But yet God does not seem to honor our efforts. That's really what's happening right here. Gehazi's went down. God is not honoring his efforts. Why? There's a problem. He's lost his compassion. We see he's lost his power. There are people that are faithful as can be to church. They won't miss a service. They try to take an active part. But you know what? They just have no power. God does not honor their efforts. God's not working through them. They don't have any influence with people. Let me ask you something. Do you think this Shunammite woman, she was impressed with Gehazi's efforts? I mean, here she is right there. Elisha says, take my staff, go lay it on the child. And then he comes back and he says, I did that, nothing happened. Do you think she was really impressed with him? No. You know what? The world looks upon God's people, many of them. They're not impressing anybody. They're not showing anybody the right way. They're not showing anybody anything. All they're doing is they're fulfilling a role. They're playing a part. And there's no power. God can't honor them. Pastor touched on it this morning. You know why there's no power? We're not praying people. Power comes through prayer. I can take you all through the Word of God and show you that. If we want to take the time to do it. Power comes through prayer. Why? Why do we have no power? Why are we not a praying people? I asked this question once before, and I said, if there was an emergency in your life, I mean, you had a child, you had a family member, I mean, they're at the point of death, you need somebody that you have confidence in that can get a hold of God. Don't answer, but in your mind, here's what I want you to do. What five people would you call? Who are the people on your list? And we've all got one. If there's trouble and we need somebody that you have confidence in that can pray and touch the throne of God, who would you call? But then here's my question. Are you on anybody's list? If somebody in this church had a problem, they need somebody to touch God, are you on somebody? Are you somebody that people say, you know what, he can get a hold of God. If there's a problem, that's somebody I'm going to call. Here's my point. We don't have power with God because we're not a praying people. Gehazi knew he didn't get the job done. There wasn't a doubt about it. He comes back and he says, nothing happened. He knew he didn't get the job done. And if we would be honest with ourselves, we know if God blesses our efforts or not. If we just be honest, really every one of us in here, we know, we read this in Nehemiah and Ezra both. He talked about the good hand of my God upon me. You know within yourself if you've got the hand of God upon you. God blessing your efforts as you labor for the Lord. You know that. Only you can answer it. If we're going to accomplish it, we've got to have God's power. And let me say this while we're right here. When you don't pray, you're operating the energy of the flesh. We get up and try to teach or preach. You try to teach a Sunday school lesson. Whatever you do for the cause of Christ, if you've not prayed and asked God what you need to do, really, it's your work. It's what you're doing. It ought to be a warning sign to us, a red flag as we're going through life when we realize, hey, I don't have a touch of God upon my life. Here's Gehazi. He's lost his compassion. He's lost his power. But then look at chapter 4. Let me start reading verse number 42. It says, and there came a man from Belshazzar and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley and full ears of corn and the husk thereof. And he said, give unto the people that they may eat. And his servitor, that's just his servant, that'd be Gehazi. And his servant said, what should I set before 100 men? And he said, give the people that they may eat, for thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. So he set before them, and they did eat and left thereof according to the word of God. Here's a man, he brings Elisha 20 loaves of barley, a sack of corn. Elisha tells Gehazi, I want you to give it to the people to feed them. God was going to perform a miracle. God was going to multiply his food to feed them. And you know what his response was? What should I set before 100 men? He's lost his compassion. He's lost his power. And you know what I see here? He's lost his faith. He's looking no longer as he looked. Hey, he saw the widows will multiply. He saw the child raised from the dead. Now the man of God says, hey, give him this food. It's going to feed him. You know what he's looking at? Circumstances. He's looking at all that. What should I set before 100 men? He doesn't have his eyes on God. He doesn't have faith in what God can do, but it can't be done. He's lost his faith. He doesn't think God can do it. He thinks the man of God's missed it. If I could just say it that way. He can't see past his circumstances. Do you know there's a lot of God's people that's just that same way? I'm going to tell you this. If the Word of God says it, you can do it. It's just that simple. God is not going to tell. I would not tell my children to do something that I didn't think they could do. I'm not going to give Brady a set of plans and a hammer and a saw and say, son, go build this. I'll never do that to him. You know why? I know that he does not have the ability to do it. God's no different. God is not going to tell us to do something that we can't do. And we know it's him working through us. You understand that. But when the Word of God says to do something, it's pretty cut and dry. We do it. Here's why we don't. Because we don't have faith in the Word of God. We look at our circumstances. We start looking at the circumstances, why it can't be done, why. You know, the world has twisted our thinking so much. Here's what we do. We take what the Word of God says, worldly philosophies, and we start comparing them, and whichever one makes the most sense to us, that's the one we do. That's not faith. Faith is saying, God, here's what you said. And listen, when you obey God, many times the circumstances are going to look like you've made a mistake. I couldn't tell you how many times I've had to get on my face before God and say, God, here's what you said. And Lord, that's what we're trying to do. And Lord, it seems like it's not going the way it should. But Lord, just help us. We're obeying what you told us to do. God is always true to His Word. But here's a man, and he's lost his faith. He lost his compassion for the work of God. Then he's lost his power. And now he's lost his faith. And then here's what we see. We see in the next chapter, chapter 5, we see him selling his God out for the riches of the world. This road that he's traveling on, this is the final stop. He sold out. See, Elisha didn't take anything from Naaman. God's grace is free. That was what he said. He just freely gives. You can't buy God's favor. Hey, and he took anything from Naaman in Naaman's eyes. Here's what he's saying. I paid for what I got. Elisha says, we're not taking nothing. By Gehazi's actions, he's disrespected the man of God. He's disrespected Naaman. He's disrespected God himself. Notice what he says in chapter 5, verse number 20. The latter part is, but as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. He made a choice. He made a conscious choice. He knew what the man of God said. He knew what was right. But he made a choice. You know what? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to profit from this. He willingly did this. Anybody that sells out for materialism and the things of this world, let me tell you, they don't do it by accident. They choose it. They know what the Word of God says. They got their desires. Well, they went down this road, all these things. And here's what they do. That is a choice. He says, notice what he says again, as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. He knows what the man of God said. He knows what's right. But here's what I'm going to do. And that's what he does. And you know what? He had to put forth a lot of effort to go after him. I mean, you think about this. He had to chase him down. He's left. He's not walking. Naaman's got servants. He's not walking. He has to chase him down. Chase the chariot down to talk to him. He's willing to put an enormous amount of effort to get away from the things of God, to obtain the things of the world. And when he got there, he got everything he asked for and then some. Asked for one talent, Naaman gave him two. Naaman even sent two servants to carry it home for him. You choose to sell out for the world, and you know what? It'll be easy. Hey, he went back. He wanted, hey, give me some silver. Give me some clothes. You know what he said? I'll give it to you. You know what? You ain't even going to have to carry it. I'll carry it back for you. I'll send some men to carry it. Given two outfits so dressed to look like a world. And you know what he did? He tried to hide it. Notice what he does with it. Verse 24, when they came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house and let the men go, and they departed. When they got to the tower, that place where the watchman would stand to see what they're going to, when they started getting there, here's what he said, hey, don't come any further, let me have it. And he took it and he went and hid it in his house. And then he goes and stands before the man of God, just like nothing's wrong. He's still going to stand and try to portray that image. I'm an obedient servant. I love God. I want to serve God. He's still trying to play the part. There's a lot of God's people that are doing the same. No compassion for others. They have no power with God. They're just playing that part. They've lost their faith in the Word of God. They operate not by what the Word of God says. They operate by what makes sense to them. But yet they faithfully attend church. They faithfully just keep going through the motions of trying to play a part. That's what Gehazi's doing. Here's what Gehazi didn't see. There's a price to pay. Notice chapter 5, verse number 27. The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and to thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. Here's what he lost. Number one, he lost the privilege of being Elisha's servant. Not serving God anymore. All that potential, all that promise, that hope that maybe one day he would be the next prophet, it's all gone. Because he made that conscious decision, I'm going after the world. I'm going after the material things of the world. Lost his health. That disease is going to cause him to be an outcast. His riches won't matter anymore. I mean, do you think anybody in town says, man, look at them clothes Naaman's got on. Man, that is one sharp outfit Naaman's got. Man, he's a wealthy man. No. You know what they said? Get away from him. Look at that leper. He was an outcast. His life and testimony, you know what he became? He became a joke. And this is what's so sad. This is the saddest part of this whole story to me. Notice 27 again. The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. This decision he made that he was going to sell out, that he's going to turn his back on the things of God. Hey, he paid a price for it, but you know who else paid? Every generation after him. unto thy seed forever. See, here's really what he sold. Sold his children. Sold his grandchildren. Sold his great-grandchildren. For what? A little silver and two changes of clothes. What a poor trade. What have we done? You imagine Naaman, his old age, possibly seeing his children eat up with leprosy and knowing that's his fault. You know what would be the saddest thing to me, and I pray it never comes my way, is watching my children being destroyed by the world and looking back on my life and having to say, that's my fault. If I hadn't left that my home, boy, if I hadn't let them do this, if I hadn't done that, and I understand, I mean, we all have regrets, but my, how sobering it'd be to have to look and just think of that. You know what leprosy does? It contaminates. The only way you can keep from getting it, stay away from it. See, here's what Gehazi would do at this point. He'd contaminate anybody he's around. You take somebody that's sold out their spirituality for the things of the world, a carnal believer, a worldly Christian, however you want to word it. You know what they do to the people they run with? They poison and contaminate them. You run around with worldly believers, and you know what? They're not getting your mindset on the things of God. You know what they're getting your mind on? The things of the world. Falling down the same path they are. You know what the cure for leprosy is? It's Jesus. We could flip over to Mark chapter 1 where He cured the leper. You know who the cure for our problems is? It's Jesus. Hey, we may have made the mistakes, the same mistakes that Gehazi's made. But see, here's the great thing about the God I serve. We can get forgiveness and we can start over. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You may be here tonight, and if you'd be honest with yourself, here's what you'd have to say. I've lost my compassion. I've lost my compassion for God's people. I've lost my compassion and love for the work of God. Maybe, if you'd be honest, you just even admit that you've lost the power of God upon your life. You're going through the motions. You're doing everything you're supposed to do, but deep down you know the hand of God's not on you. Maybe your faith in the Word of God and in the man of God is not what needs to be. Have you sold yourself out for the things of the world? There's nothing but heartache on that road. You know how you get off of it? You just be honest with God. And you come, you confess, and you ask Him to help you. See, here's the thing. This is why Gehazi ended up in the shape he's in. He never confessed he messed up. Notice verse 27. It says, but he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went nowhither. I didn't go anywhere. He knew what he did. The man of God gave him an opportunity to repent. Before the judgment, before this punishment, this judgment was ever laid upon him, he had an opportunity to repent and confess that I've done wrong. You know what he could have done? He could have said right there, he could have said, Elisha, I've messed up. Elisha, I don't know what I was thinking. I messed up. I went and I've chased him down and I took some gold and my silver and I've hid it just like Achan did. I've tried to hide my sin. I'm so sorry for what I've done. I suspect the results have been a whole lot different. But instead of being honest enough to just admit I'm wrong and I've messed up, here's what he said. I didn't go anywhere. I didn't do nothing. And then the judgment came. Here's all I'm saying tonight. If we're on that same road that Gehazi's on, made some of the same mistakes he has, you know what we need to do? We need to be honest enough to repent and ask God to help us before it's too late. Before it's too late. Because there's coming a point, you know what? It's going to be too late to undo it. Hey, it would have done no good after the leprosy there. It'd been too late for him to start confessing. For him to start saying, hey, you're right, I was guilty. It's too late then. Ask y'all to stand up. Someone else come to the piano. Here's my question. Have we sold our spirituality out for the things of this world? And if we have, you know what we need to do? Before judgment comes our way, we need to confess and get right with God. God spoke to your heart this evening. You come and pray.